everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss, and...
I'm Theo Vaughn.
And today, our special, amazing, fantastic guest is Mina Suvari.
Hello!
One of my dear, dear friends, very, very accomplished actress.
Yeah, an American everything, American Beauty, American Pie,
American Horror Story.
That's how I like to do it.
What's with you and American?
I know, what is that?
But I should get an award for
You should get, like, you should have flags, like, all over your, you know, Miss Patriotic, American
Brought to you by the 4th of July.
I do, actually. I have, like, four little American flags on each of my windows on
that's
the car.
There you go.
And on the antenna.
So that's you going down the street. All right, so now if you see that, that's me.
That's the President of the United States.
I have a
States.
Car wrap.
Yeah. Today is a very special. Before we get to, I want to talk to our dear, dear guest. But today is very special for two reasons. One, my birthday was last week.
Woo-hoo.
Both of you didn't show up at the party, but thanks. Number two, today is the 30th year anniversary of the premiere of Golden Girls.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
God.
That is good.
Ooh, claps all
Cheers.
Around.
Claps all around.
Amazing.
While we're on the topic, which Golden Girl do you relate to most?
Theo, I was physically attracted to Blanche. So.
I didn't ask which one. Well, everybody was. I don't think everybody was going, oh, Bea Arthur, like, I need to bang her.
Right.
I think Rue McClanahan got most of it. But which one do you relate to? Which one are you most... Did you watch Golden Girls?
That's a good question. Yeah, I watched it. My dad was 70 when I was born. All we did was watch Golden Girls.
Wow.
He would chub
Sounds
out
like a
every
wonderful
time.
Childhood.
It was crazy.
Okay, so which one do you relate to?
I'm trying to... Let me think. Mina, you answer this first, because I'm going to think.
On the spot. I guess, I don't know. I guess Blanche.
Yeah.
She's sassy and has that kind of, you know, that kind of...
She's got the tood.
The extroverted personality.
Yeah.
But I feel like I kind of relate to all of them.
Yeah, that's why the show works so well, because
I like to
each
think
Golden
I have
Girl.
Some maturity. I like animals.
Yes, like Betty White.
Yeah. Yep.
I think probably I would most be like Bea Arthur, like Dorothy Spornak, just because she's very, like, rigid and, like, you know, she's kind of the boss of things and she likes it her way or the other, or no way.
And
so.
Prudish.
Yeah.
Very prudish. Which describes me to a T.
My dad used to be like, you need to have posture like her. That's what he would always say to us. He'd be like, because we'd be watching TV all slouchy, he'd be like, sit up, you need to have posture.
See, that's the Bea Arthur curse. Nobody looked at her and said, yeah, you got to get that. They said, you need to have her posture, Bea Arthur.
Posture like Dorothy.
R.I.P. Bea Arthur. Anyway, so yes, we are here with Mina, who has been in lots and lots of movies, including, like we said, American Pie, American Beauty, Sugar and Spice. But my favorite film that she's ever done is this film that I saw years ago called Standing Still. It's so good.
Wait, I saw this.
It's her and Amy Adams and James Vanderbeek and Colin Hanks. And it's, I think the direction, especially in the film, is... I mean,
it's a little
exquisite.
It was left out at the Oscars that year. but, you know, they have no taste. If they could give post, like, Oscars for, they recognize that they screwed up. Like, every year they should have an Oscar where, like, yeah, we screwed up and we forgot to, you know, acknowledge this one. I think Standing Still would get it.
That's Matt's movie, guys, that Mina was in. And that's
Mina and I met is she was in my movie that I directed called Standing Still, which is a good movie.
So Matt's movie dropping. And that movie was, you could rent it in. I remember you could rent it in
It's still out and about and on Netflix and
it's
HBO.
On the internet.
It is on the internet.
It's a good movie.
It's out there for everybody to see.
It's a good movie. I remember seeing it.
Let's get to our first round.
Yep, and this is how the podcast works. Matt and I are completely different. Like, Matt believes in being Jewish and homosexuality, and he's from Philadelphia. I believe in the right way to heaven, and I'm from Louisiana, and I am straight for now. So that's, like, where we're totally different, and so it's a competitive podcast, and we have a wonderful guest today who's also going to not compete with us but going to be the judge. And we're gonna tell you the rounds.
One of the other things you should know is the difference is I'm always prepared and he is not. So you shall see that as it happens. All right, so round one we call Tales from the Wood, which is when Theo and I each get to tell a story.
No, it's not that.
Wood being Hollywood. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a whole different show.
I can't
show.
Wait to hear these stories.
Yeah, that's a whole different show. So each give a story, and you get to tell. You get to pick which one you think is more interesting, more embarrassing, more funny, whatever your criteria are. And we each have 5 minutes to tell our story.
Yeah.
You ready?
And go.
Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
So, as you guys know, I have been writing for magazines for years and years, and one
occupation
of...
dropping. Let me just say that right at the gate.
I didn't say which magazines.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway, People so I worked for Us Weekly, yes, back in the day when I was still living at home after I graduated college, and one of the events they gave me was the GLAAD Media Awards, and I was not out at the time. So it was pretty awesome, actually, just to be around it, but this is a side story. Anyway, sometimes when you go to these events and you're press, they sit you at a table with a celebrity. That's their way of kind of like buttering you up a little bit. So like they'll sit not all the press together, but one at each celebrity's table. I had the fortunate opportunity of sitting at Glenn Close's table that year, which was really awesome because I'm a huge Glenn Close fan. She was nominated for a TV movie she did where she played a lesbian like army sergeant or something like that. Ooh. It was a true story, and she was getting a lot of buzz for it that year. Anyway, she won, mm-hmm. and she goes up, and I didn't talk to her at the table. I mean, what was I going to say? Like,
why not?
I don't know. I mean, she had her cute. She had her crew with her, you know, and I was just like, listen, I'll go up to anybody, but it was like, I mean, I felt awkward. Being
did she seem like a lesbian in person? Like, did she give off, like, that air?
Well, I don't even know what that means.
What kind of question? No, I'm kidding.
she threw a softball at me.
She
and
had
like,
her Glenn Close posse?
She had a Glenn Close posse.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she had a Glenn
so
Close
cool.
posse. And that's part of the story is, so she gets up and she wins, right? And she says, I want to thank everybody at table 13.
Except Matt.
No, exactly. She goes, I want to thank everyone at table 13. So they cut to a shot because this is telecast and it's like you can see it on big screens, right? So they cut to a shot of me. And it's just me, and I notice it, and I look up, and I'm like,
"What do you mean?
Thumbs
it was like
up.
A close no. up of
me? Yeah, it was a close up of me." And I was like, "They must have like thought I was somehow like important or
and
not."
And at that moment, you were like, "I'm gay."
Yeah, that was my big coming out moment.
And he just mimes blowing a guy to the side.
Yeah, I was like,
that's a bit much.
That could have been amazing.
So, I didn't know what to do. Like, I just see myself on the big screen, and so I just did a thumbs up. Like, thumbs up.
Like a Fonzie.
Yeah, like a Fonzie. And so then I think they kind of caught on right away that I wasn't really part of the crew because she starts thanking like her daughter, Annie. And so they cut to her and she's talking to that. And so she comes back and this happens sometimes when you go to award shows. She won. She left, right? She left immediately afterwards because she got her award and whatever. So I'm the only one left at this table. Someone else wins. I forget who it was.
Sorry.
Someone else wins. I forget who it was.
Are you
and they
still
go,
doing a thumbs up or your thumbs are down?
No. Okay. Thumbs were down.
Okay.
Were you searching for another table desperately to be a part of?
No, because I got to eat every free meal that they gave out. This is so true. When I go to these events and there's someone not sitting next to me, I will always say, oh, yeah, they went to the bathroom. And I'll get their meal and then I'll take it because these are good meals.
He's like drinking the water.
I did this 2 nights ago. I swear to God, I did.
He's playing musical chairs by himself. He's just turning it on his phone and
it's
walking.
True.
Trying to have the camera find him. He's like,
best part of I'll tell you about the best parts of GLAAD parties in a second. But so then someone else wins, and I forget who it was, but they said, I owe my whole entire career to Glenn Close. You know, she's an inspiration. And again, they cut to my table, and I'm the only person there. And I look at my, and I'm like, what are these guys thinking? Like, aren't they like paying attention to like the shots they have set up? So I'm like, again, I go, thumbs up. And so, granted, listen, I don't know anybody there. So what the hell? And I probably had a couple glasses of wine at that time.
You could have clearly been like her representative.
True.
Like
exactly.
Her lawyer, her publicist.
Her Jewish agent, for sure. So afterwards.
You could be her daughter. You could have been her daughter.
Afterwards, after the party, one of the best things about GLAAD is they have great parties afterwards, like after the awards, and they're like game mixers, you know? So it was, I wasn't out at the time, but I was getting my game on.
Wow.
But people were coming.
Collecting numbers.
I was
storing up for the fall, like a squirrel with nuts in his cheeks.
When I come out, I'm gonna call you and you. Oh,
no
gosh.
Pun intended.
That was a good one, actually.
So then people start coming up to me and going, "Oh, how do you know Glenn Close? Like, are you related?" Or and I'm like,
"I
don't know Glenn Close." But then I was like, "I should be telling stories and be like, oh yeah, my aunt Glenn." But no, I didn't do it. So the only other. Kick to this story, which is great, is that year, the gift bags, they give gift bags. You've been to a lot of events. You know they give some gift bags and stuff. They gave out collector Barbie dolls, right? That was awesome. And so I immediately was, I'm not I'm not a Barbie fan. I know that's where your head was going, but I immediately thought eBay.
Right.
So I took five of them. Not only did I take five of them,
you take the desserts, you take the Barbie, the gift bag.
But how much do I give? I gave so much.
You gave a thumbs up. You gave two thumbs up.
At so the story is, I had to take the train home to Philadelphia because I was in New York at the living in New York, and I had my five Barbie dolls with me on the train, and people were looking at me like I was a crazy, creepy person.
No, they're looking at you like you definitely just come out of the closet, bro. That is a way come out of the closet thing.
So thank you, Glenn Close. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Did you have them propped up, like sitting actually next to you, like on the subway?
I was talking to them. I was like, hey, how are you?
Like, wasn't that fun?
You're just doing all their hair just like in a one fell swoop.
You guys know me too well. All right, that's my story. Theo, it is your turn.
My story's not as good, I feel like.
Oh, way to throw in the towel.
No, my story is wonderful, actually. So,
start the clock, and it's going.
My story doesn't have a direct interaction with a celebrity, but it has an interaction with a celebrity, kind of. So, my friend Timmy and I, whenever I first moved in here to Los Angeles, my friend Timmy and I used to get on the bus, on the city bus, on the Big Blue, after Christmas, because they had candy canes, you could get a deal on them, okay? You get a deal on candy canes.
On the bus?
What?
No, not on the bus. At a CVS or a Walgreens, they sold candy canes.
I'm like, they give you candy canes?
On the bus, yeah.
Well, they sort of do if you're on our bus.
Okay.
But we would go and get the canes, right? They'd give canes. They'd sell them 10 boxes for $1, and there's 10 canes in a box. So then you're looking at a penny a cane, right? I mean, you can't.
Sounds expired, but anyway.
Yeah.
But you can't get candy cane at that price. I mean, it just doesn't, it never hits that low of a price, right?
Well, maybe in like the summer when they're trying to get rid of all their candy canes.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Sorry.
We're talking about like candy, right? Or is this
like candy canes.
Okay.
Yeah, candy canes. So my friend Timmy and I get a bunch of canes. We probably buy about $70 worth of canes. So that's like 7,000 canes, right? So we hit the bus after Christmas, and we're just like, look, let's just ride the rails today and just give out candy canes to everybody on
Aww,
the bus, right?
That's sweet.
Yeah, they are expired.
He's trying to win points. Yeah, yeah. Keep going.
It's whatever.
I stole Barbies. He came out.
Yeah, they're both on a bus. So we're cruising on the bus, man, and we're passing out canes, you know, and there's like just bringing joy to like, you know, anybody who's on a bus, you know, people that have down in their luck. Some people just completely ride the bus and never get off the bus until like you have to get off the bus, and then they'll like sleep outside the bus and then get back on the bus. Like there's people that pretty much live on the bus, right?
Quit pandering to get
or
some
people with like
right
five
now.
Barbies, but yeah.
Right, yeah, there's a guy with five Barbies. So we start passing out canes to people. We got three kind of rejections from people, and they were the best ones ever. And one guy goes, we hand him a cane, and he's sitting there, and he's just like, how you know I like candy? That's what he said to us, right? Like it was a big secret.
Well, duh.
That some people didn't like candy. But he was real quiet, and he just looked over, and he's like, how do you know I like candy?
Oh, my God.
So that was pretty amazing.
Did you get his number?
I did not get his number.
It's like, there was a
German guy who's like, no, I never eat candy canes out of season. That's what he said.
What was that accent?
That was like Indian.
That was with a little Irish. Yeah. There was a little leprechaun in that.
Okay. Well, he had his parents.
Oh, top of the morning. And tell you, I don't like the candy canes.
Out of season.
Well, this is fun just picking on him during this story. Okay,
candy canes. I'll never eat candy canes out of season. That's what he said, right?
Okay.
He never eats them out of season. Because I guess it was after Christmas, right?
Okay.
So the third dude goes, man, give me that cane, man. He goes, man, I just had the craziest day of my life, man. And we're like, well, what happened, bro? You know? And he's like, man, so I'm at the Ralph's, bro. I'm at the Ralph's. He's like, and I'm standing in line, right? And guess who right in front of me? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, guess. And he fucking made us guess, right? So we're like, I don't know, you know, Michael Landon, I guess, because I'm a huge Michael Landon fan. And it wasn't him. And then he's like, man, I'll tell you who it was, man. This man made me stand up for television. That's what he goes. This man made me stand up for television. It was John Larroquette. He goes, John Larroquette was right in front of me in line at the Ralph's, right?
From Night Court.
Yeah,
John
Larroquette. Yeah, I was like,
Larroquette.
Okay.
That's what we said, too. So we're losing our shit just feeding this guy canes, right? He's three canes in now, right? And this dude is just holding court. And he's like, and I'll tell you this, man. He goes, look, I'm standing there. And I announced to everybody in line, I said, ladies ladies and gentlemen, we got an attorney right here in line with us tonight. This man will make you stand up for television. Ladies and gentlemen, it's John Larroquette, right? He goes, and John Larroquette turned around and gave me $100 to shut the fuck up.
Really?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said.
Wow.
And then he goes, and I had to help a few friends out, but I still have, and then he counted it in front of us, $97.
Wow. That's what he said. Wow. So John Larroquette.
Like
parakeet.
Yeah, like parakeet.
Actually paid him $100 to stop embarrassing him
at a Ralph's.
That's pretty awesome.
But his friends only needed $3.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But $3 goes a long way when you're riding the bus, I guess.
That's the kind of friends I want. I lent a friend. I Venmoed somebody $400 yesterday. I'm
wow.
Geez, yeah.
Now I know who to hit up when I need some money. Lord.
I want these other friends, though, those $3 friends.
Yeah, all right. So John Larroquette,
that's my story.
Whom you've never met.
Whom I've never met.
All right. So one story is a true, real interaction, and the other is just a person told me that John Larroquette.
A holiday fable.
Who we don't even know if
it's true.
It's not a holiday
fable. You guys act like it's like.
And I think he just picks John Larroquette because that's just who's going to question John Larroquette, right?
Are you just berating my story for no reason for the judge?
So preposterous.
Sorry, Mina.
Jesus,
it's on you. You got to pick a winner of this round.
So I have to pick a winner based on
whatever you want.
Whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it can even be just
but
a heterosexual thing.
No
it can
feelings.
Even be that.
No feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Here, we've won and lost enough. So
and
that
we don't even have feelings.
Yeah, we don't have feelings.
Oh, I think they're both pretty fantastic.
Oh, Lord.
But I kind of have to go. I guess I just felt... I'm sorry, I have to turn this way because I don't want you to be upset at me.
Yeah.
But wow. I feel like I was a bit more engaged.
Yeah, you were there with me at the
story.
Table.
Story. I just, maybe because I can relate.
Yeah.
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 I don't know, and there's just so many crazy things about it.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's really strange when people leave, like they'll come to an event and then they'll, no offense, but I think it's kind of nuts.
It's true. I think it's nuts too.
When you just go for 2 minutes or I've been to even charity events and I feel like people just kind of show face and.
Yeah, and you're like support everybody else who won too. So.
And I can just see you there alone. The table.
Well, that pretty much describes every weekend of my life. But this one, I happen to be at a cool event. So, in other words, she is saying that I am the winner. So, round one goes to me.
John Larroquette, y'all.
Sorry.
John Larroquette loses again. Poor John Larroquette.
Matt, who's there stealing people's desserts and just gorging on free salmon.
I'll never be invited here again.
Oh, of course you will.
Also, don't we like to have a... Does Mina have a story she wants to share?
Oh, do you have a story you'd like to share?
We'll see. That's like, of course he
Look
says
at that.
Mm-hmm. Because I didn't pick his story. Now he's putting me on the spot.
Well,
no, this is not the spot. I'll put you on the spot if you want to be on there, Mina. I can find the spot.
Oh, no. Lord. No, he can't. That's why he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Where's my bubble? Where's my bubble?
All right, let's move on to round two, which is our interview segment.
All right. Round two.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You can think about it, or you can say, if you may or may not, have any story of like something funny or random or embarrassing or something that's happened to you. I mean, I guess you've been in Hollywood for... Forever, right?
Yeah, you started, 14? You young? Youngest?
No, I actually did my first commercial when I was 7.
Out here in LA?
No.
Okay.
No,
so you're infested.
In Rhode Island.
So you grew up like
infested.
You grew up in this business.
Pretty much, yeah. Wow. I did like some modeling when I was younger with an agency called, Cameo Kids.
Ashley Madison. Mm. Oh.
What?
I said Ashley Madison.
It was called Cameo Kids in Boston.
Ah.
Wow. And, it must have been easy to model in Boston, honestly.
And then I lost my two front teeth, you know, because that's what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of women in Boston look like that.
And they said, just bring her back when she gets her teeth.
No way.
And then by then at that time we had moved, and we moved to Charleston to South Carolina.
Beautiful city.
And And I started modeling again there at an agency called Millie Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up going to a nationwide modeling convention to represent Millie Lewis. And I ended up signing with Wilhelmina, the head of kids division. Mm-hmm. And I went to New York for a summer. And did a little bit of modeling, but I was only 5'2".
Wow, that's exciting, though.
I was so tall.
Were you like the little model that could?
I was trying. I wore a lot of heels.
Did you really?
Yeah, and then I, you know, since from that time until, you know, I got older, I only grew 2 inches.
Wow. 5'4". You could still grow, though.
But they had a commercial division out here in L.A., and so I came out here, and then I started auditioning for commercials, and then...
And then how did that lead to...
I'm still here.
Never.
Only like 5-6 years later. How did that lead to Boy Meets World? You were on Boy Meets World, right?
I was twice.
Oh. And you must have been stoked, though. It must have been super exciting. It was a huge show.
Yeah, no, it was a really, really big deal. And it was strange because I was on the show, and then they wanted to bring me back, but as a different... I was on the show for the first time just as like a guest spot. I think I had one line. And then they wanted to bring me back on the show, but as a different character. So it didn't really make sense.
Right.
Like that's Hollywood.
They wanted me to be on the show. But yeah, I had one line. My line was, "He drinks water?" And apparently, oh my God, I must have been like,
you blew
15.
Him away.
My mom said that I just ran this line like over and over and over because, you know, there's so many ways you can do it.
That's true.
But it's terrifying, yeah.
Let's hear some other readings. Nervous.
Yeah.
He drinks water? He drinks water? I mean, you could just go on and on and on.
That's
and, you
hysterical.
Know, those are the moments that I think I've realized over time that are the hardest.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have no line, you have to give a look, or you just have one word or one line, that those actually...
You have to make it work.
They stress you out more than if you had like pages and pages of dialogue. I don't know why.
Wow.
So was there an auditioning experience that you've had over the years that was really just turned into total cat shit, you felt like?
Yeah. I mean, actually, my first audition out here was for a Rice-A-Rooney commercial.
Wow.
And I mean... You know, I just was so young. I was so green in so many ways, and I didn't have any, you know, formal training or whatnot. So it was just me winging it. I feel like all the time. It still is.
Not that you necessarily
like
that you haven't.
You don't need to go to Juilliard to do a Rice-A-Roni commercial.
Well, no, but to act. I mean, I've known, and you know, everybody has like a different path. But I've known a lot of people that. You know, might have known in the womb that they wanted to be an actor, and I necessarily didn't.
Right.
I thought about being many other things before falling into this industry, and so I just feel like, I guess looking back, I was used to kind of going with the flow, in a sense. I'd lived in so many different places. I'd moved at these kind of, you know, pivotal moments in my life.
Indeed.
And so it was like, oh, okay, now we're going out to L.A., and okay, now we're acting, and go and, you know, my mom's driving around, and oh, you have an audition. Like, it was just kind of easy. I wasn't necessarily putting so much of, like, this business perspective on it, like, oh,
right.
This is,
right.
You know, this is my shot. Like, I just didn't, you know, I was kind of going with it. But anyway, yeah, it was a horrible audition.
Why? What happened?
I don't
did you
know
call it?
Everything.
Did you call it like?
Well, a lot of those
the Los Angeles treat instead of the San Francisco treat.
No, it's just like, you know, a lot of that for me. I mean, back then and that kind of experience was like, you know, you do your slate and you do your profiles, and then they'd kind of tell you, you know, like improv this. Okay, so you know, you're at the school and you see this girl and she's wearing the same outfit. What do you do? You know, kind of thing. Or
right.
Like when I went out on like a Sunny D commercial, it's like you gotta pretend like you're looking in the fridge, you know, like you're with your friends, hey, you know, and you gotta like open up the fridge and be like, oh no, I don't want that. Oh my god, Sunny D. You
the purple
know?
Stuff.
It's like,
I don't want the purple stuff.
So
it's Sunny
just
D.
This kind of like a lot of imagination and improv, and I just felt like the casting director absolutely hated me. I just felt like everything that I was doing, every choice that I was making was just wrong. I think because he just seemed aggravated and quiet and, you know, like really displeased. And so when people get quiet like that, it makes me more nervous. And anyway, I left that room thinking, this man hates me. I will never get this job. And I actually booked it.
Oh, wow.
And it, and you know, that was one of the lessons, like, one of the first lessons that I learned in Hollywood.
I need to...
That you never know. And many times when you feel like something has gone horribly wrong, you never know. I mean, you could actually... That might be... the moment that you know, something works out for you.
Can I find this commercial?
I know, Jesus.
Oh my God, I want to find this.
Where's this commercial at?
I'm gonna look for it. Everything's on the internet.
But I got my SAG card off of it.
Wow, so. Very cool.
And that was a start.
So then my question is.
So thank you for hiring me.
Yeah, that wonderful San Francisco treat. My question is, especially since you said you didn't go into it necessarily, because a lot of people do go into this business looking for not only just acting, but fame. So fame kind of became as a byproduct for you. How did you handle that, and how have you handled that over the years?
Still is a byproduct. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I mean, it's a strange thing. And I think for a long time, it had been kind of frustrating because I felt like I didn't fit into what I should have fit into, like that category of like, oh, I should play that role of being famous or like, it's so weird to me when people come up to me and they say, oh, are you famous? And I say, well, I'm an actress.
Right.
Like, it just, like, what do you say, you know?
Yeah, that's
so awkward.
It becomes a whole nother role.
I've had people actually come up to me. This guy came up to me once and he said, I will do whatever. He looked dead into my eyes. He said, I will do whatever it takes to become famous. And I was so terrified by this person. Yes. I just thought, you have no idea.
They could kill someone to become famous. They could get on America's Most Wanted. Yeah.
I don't know. But it's always been really strange. I think I still find myself in this position where I'm like, what's going on and why am I here, you know?
But is it, yeah,
how did this all happen, you know? I mean, time really does fly, and I've lived out here like 22 years, and I just try to stay really humble and grateful for everything that I've gone through, and really focus on what it adds to my life, like the artistic, the creative aspect of it.
Right.
And the collaborative, you know, the effort, and just the way that you can really work with people and make something fantastic and fun and amazing, and not about like ratings or box office.
Because that can easily get overlooked. That can easily get...
Because there's just so many things that you can't control.
Right.
And if you're not enjoying something, if you're not enjoying the process, I mean, just to say, okay, I want to go to the finish line and I want to win first place. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like life works out like that.
Yep.
Well, especially as you get a little bit older, I think you realize that the joy is in the journey of things. I think you certainly realize that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I think so, anyway. I mean...
I'm still looking for...
Yeah, Matt and I have definitely... we spend most of our time at rock bottom, so...
Oh, shut up!
I mean, we don't... we do. Did you ever have a set that you worked on that you felt like you could live in and you were like, I wish I didn't have to not leave this set ever?
Like that character in that world?
Yes.
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, a year or so ago, I worked on a pilot for Amazon called Hysteria, and I actually played a psychiatrist, and ironically enough, my father was a psychiatrist, and...
Is this split personalities? Do you have different personalities in this?
No, she's a psychiatrist.
Oh, you're a psychiatrist, okay.
Yes, not a psychiatric patient.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, well, maybe...
But that
you could have,
sometimes has happened, right?
Yes,
on some shows. They've been a doctor who's
fair
like...
Enough. I was thinking
it was a dumb question. Let's just say
bipolar,
it was a dumb question.
Right? no, but I think, like you had mentioned before, my father was in his 60s when he had me.
Oh,
so
wow.
he passed away several years ago. And, it was really special, actually, even just auditioning for that and, you know, booking the role. And worked with Sean Cassidy. And it was such an amazing... it was such an amazing story and role, and you know, I really enjoyed that because I had thought about being a doctor when I was younger, and I was definitely interested in psychology, or even, you know, psychiatry. And so I feel like if I hadn't fallen into this, you know, creative world, I might have gone into something like that, some form of medicine. So it was kind of
cool to be
like,
it
was fun to actually play a doctor.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Now, in your many years of...
I only played one on TV.
In your many years of in being in this industry and doing all... You've done tons of projects. I'm sure you've gotten hit on a lot by like actors and like skeez balls and stuff like that. Does that happen?
You
is that
didn't
something?
Hit on me.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, we know why.
Well,
too,
well, your husband at the time was also there, and I didn't want to necessarily like that's my reason.
But he gave you two thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
No, he did give you two thumbs up.
But does that happen?
What are you fishing for, Matt?
I'm just fishing on, you know, do you get hit on a lot by actors and stuff?
I don't know. I don't really think so.
Really?
People have told me that I'm really intimidating.
Really?
You know what? Matt said you were intimidating before you came in today.
And I don't know why. Yeah. I think I give off this really weird vibe to people. I'm the kind of person who's out somewhere. Like, let's say, you know, I've gone out to, like, you know, I'm with friends at like
Mel's
a club
diner.
Or a bar or whatever. And I'm the person that somebody walks up to and says, "You don't. You look like you're not having a good time."
Right.
No.
I guess because I just have this serious look on my face all the time. So
like you look like you have a test tomorrow.
Yeah. Like I'm always just studying. I'm always observing everything, mm-hmm. and I am pretty serious. I've gotten better mm-hmm. over the years, but yeah, no. I think for the most part, I'm not. I don't know if I'm very approachable.
By the way, I hear you, but I don't believe that you've never been hit
I
on
swear
by actors
to God.
In this town.
No.
Crazy.
I'm not the kind of person where they're like, "Hey, so you want to have dinner tonight?" Like, it's just...
Really?
I've never really gotten
Have you
that.
Ever, like, gotten a call from
if
someone...
If anything, I have, like, no friends.
Oh.
It's okay.
Even I have exactly one or two. You have yeah. you ever gotten, like, a call from, like, your agent saying, "Hey, so-and-so wants to meet you," or something like that?
I did, and I will not mention that name.
But it happened.
Unless you pay me a lot of money.
All right.
Well, let's see what
I'm
we
kidding.
Have.
No. Yeah, yeah. Really early in my career... I can't remember where I was. I was out of town.
And he was older.
No. And we were staying. I was staying at a hotel. And I had a voicemail from that person.
Wow.
To call them back. And I was like, what is this all about? It was so, again, I think because I wasn't like with it, you know?
Right,
I
like
wasn't.
Miss Hollywood, like, oh,
yeah,
this is what happened.
Like, I was like, what the hell is this all about?
Wait, did you go on? Did you do it?
No.
Didn't happen.
Did you call him back?
No.
What?
Oh.
Why?
What do you mean?
Listen.
Were you attracted to them at all? Did you feel like you could have been attracted to them? What made you unattracted? The fact that they had called and left the message, or you just weren't?
I don't know. I think I was just weirded out by it. And
it is
I've always been a pretty private person, like really, really independent.
Right.
I don't know.
I'm thinking that...
What's wrong with me?
When William Shatner calls you...
Probably things, but everything's something wrong with
when William Shatner calls you
and
asks
you
for a
date,
you should
Shatner.
Do it. I mean, for
it
that...
was actually John Larroquette.
It was... Oh, no, yeah. It all comes full circle. All right.
That's why I didn't pick your story.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, you want the real answer? There you go.
Bad memories.
Hey, he throws around money like a bad boy. That's what I heard. Man.
Yeah, he offered to give me $100. And I was like, John, what the? I'm kidding.
That's awesome. I think I have an idea who it was. But we'll talk about it later.
You have no idea.
I have an idea.
I would.
Was he on a sitcom?
Yes.
No. Are you telling the truth?
No. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Creepers.
Wow.
This was like 50 years ago.
No, it couldn't have been that long ago. Are you sure he wasn't like a really successful sitcom?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Why?
I guess it's not
Is there a yes. really well-known sitcom actor that
there
has
two.
This record that's been going around and calling it?
David Spade does it for sure,
yes.
And he's all about it.
Are you serious?
And I believe Ashton used to do it too.
No way.
And Pauly Shore, I know, is always trying to hook up with chicks at like CVS's and Walgreens and Rite Aid.
Have you been hit on by him? I've met him,
yes.
And no, he's always been really,
oh, he's
really
a sweetheart.
Nice.
He's a sweetheart.
But every time I run into him, he gets my name wrong.
What does he call you?
I don't know.
Like Muna.
I don't know.
Mira.
People think I'm Mira, yeah.
By the way, this was an interesting fact that Theo saw on social media, that your name is an anagram of a mean virus.
Wait, what?
You know, if you rearrange the letters of Mina Suvari, you get a mean virus.
That's amazing.
Like,
that
know.
Doesn't mean that you're a bad person.
No, no, no. It has nothing to do. It's just like
that explains everything.
I just think that's awesome. Like rearranging your
my life is complete now.
There you go. A mean virus. I think
mean virus. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Take it.
Take it over.
We got to wrap this interview up. So you got what do you got, bud? Bring it in strong.
Is it tough? Do you feel like? Because I mean, you're an attractive young lady. Is it tough to be like a pretty girl? You feel like. In Hollywood, or is it awesome? Like, is it cool to like wake up every day and like look in the mirror and be like, "Oh yeah, let's do this again," you know?
Wouldn't you like to know? I'm kidding.
No, I don't get that. Like, I get in the mirror, I'm like, "Oh fuck," you know? Here we go again.
Yeah, I definitely look at myself and I go, "Let's do this again today."
No, but I'm just saying.
Do you need me to get the taser for him?
Well, no, I'm not trying to be.
No, I mean, gosh.
Or is it a bane? Do you feel like it's a bane? Like, do you feel like is a bane a word, Matt?
He's Bane. A character in Batman.
Okay, like is it like a
like the bane of your existence? Is being pretty difficult for you? I think is what he's asking.
Such a shallow question.
Is it really?
Of course. Thank you for securing this round for me.
No, I think
maybe I didn't read it right. Let me see where I put the comma.
I think being a woman is very challenging. Yes, and.
Do you think you'd have been better as a man in this world?
It's an interesting question.
Now we're going into like a whole nother
You're the psychiatrist.
Yeah, yes. Right. Well, so
sometimes it's like a Sunday afternoon where I wouldn't, you know, I'd like to be a lady and just relax.
You know, when I first came out here a long, long time ago, I did feel... Like, you know, when I would get scripts and, you know, I would consider the female characters in them that I would seem to identify with one that, you know, I was told, like, people wouldn't necessarily want to see me for it because that was the character-y role.
Right.
You know, that, they wouldn't, you know, I should go out for the quote-unquote pretty girl role.
Right.
And I... Just that really confused me. I didn't really understand how it could be so black and white. Right, and I always, you know, I think I fought really hard. I made it a point to follow the types of roles and, you know, the material that interested me and really challenged me. And I think, you know, over the years, definitely we've seen that change a bit.
Yeah. True. And by the way, you can see through your varied career, which includes all sorts of different stuff.
Thanks. But I mean, I've had, you know, I remember when I was working on this movie Spun with Jonas Åkerlund, I played a drug addict and, you know, a very unkempt looking person. And I remember this guy said to me, "You're the girl from American Beauty," when I was on set. And I just remember thinking, you know, well, I mean, listen, you know, for however challenging it's been in my life, it's also been a really interesting social experiment. And I've learned so much about, I feel like, the world in general. Because, you know, I mean, what is that supposed to say? Like, oh, I should just look like Angela Hayes 24/7 the rest of my life.
Right.
And I should be this one kind of... you know, cookie cutter thing, and I don't think that that's realistic. But
yeah,
you know, but Hollywood,
an actress.
Yeah,
an
but
actress
Hollywood
could be anything.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think people easily say that. You know,
right. They easily say that, but then when the scripts come, they expect a certain thing.
Or you know,
a
photo of me at the market is taken and it's posted, and it's like. You know, I'm critiqued and I have no makeup on.
Right.
Like, well, so yes, it's easily said, but then, you know, you can't just simply be like a human being. So it's tough being a woman in this, I think, definitely in this industry, but in the world, you know, in the world.
Well, who
in
puts
general,
on base to go pick up oranges? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
There are people out there who.
Of course,
are
especially in this city.
24/7 bronzed and shadowed and are definitely giving that impression and illusion to young women nowadays.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, I don't agree with.
I saw a chick at the gym the other day working out in high heels on the elliptical. And I was just like. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Why do you need to do that for yourself? But anyway, while we're on your... I'm going to ask my
rant?
No, it's not a good rant.
I think it's very interesting.
Because I was also thinking about American Beauty and you being the girl from American Beauty, you know, and that is that a blessing or is that a curse or is it neither, you know?
No, it's definitely a blessing.
It's a blessing.
I think it's you know, it's how you choose to look at things. And for sure, I mean, I'm more than grateful and honored to have been a part of that film. I mean, you know, you learn how to just kind of deal with whoever you have to deal with.
Right.
But no, first and foremost, I mean, that taught me so much about the industry. It taught me a work ethic. I mean, there's so much that I learned. Yeah. I mean, it's not just about, you know, just, you know, the being a part of that film. I mean, there's nothing that I'm not, you know, grateful for. I would never, ever regret being a part of anything that I've worked on. I mean, I'm really extremely honored when I'm just even given the opportunity to go and meet with people on a project. There's a lot of people that don't even get that chance.
Yeah,
so,
completely. Well, yeah, Mike Lee from social media wants to know,
hi, Mike,
how often are rose petals part of your bathing routine these days?
Not enough, Mike. Not enough.
And he also wanted to know, have pies been ruined for you for life?
No, never.
No, you're still like the pie.
I love me some apple pie, some cherry pie, some blueberry pie. I did eat pineapple pie once, and it was disgusting.
Oh.
I would not recommend that.
Oh.
I don't think that that's a fruit that should go in a pie.
Okay, fair enough.
Have you ever had that?
No. Do you think a dick should go in a pie? That's another question.
Yeah, apparently you're okay with that, but pineapples, no way.
I mean, I guess as long as it's not a pineapple pie.
There you go. By the way, Andrew just brought over, this is awesome, anagrams.
This was like a, I don't know, it was like a government
secret thing. He brought over anagrams of our names.
Oh.
So Theo Vaughn, if you rearrange the letters, equals oven hot.
Those ladies.
And Matthew Cole Weiss, if you rearrange the letters, equals teaches towel swim.
Oh.
So I teaches towel swim.
You sound like a perv.
Yeah, you do.
Teaches towel swim.
Yes.
Oh, as opposed to oven hot.
Right, so my fan question is from Brie Troquet. She said, who's a better kisser, Chris Klein, Kevin Spacey?
Uh-oh. Man, I'm going to get, like, hate mail after this.
Or love mail, you know?
Ooh. Who's the better kisser? They're both good.
They're both good?
I hate picking.
Yeah,
you
but
made me
not
pick the story and see, now, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess it's two different types.
Agreed.
I mean,
two different types. I understand.
You've got the father.
I understand how options
the
work.
The father figure versus, like, the high school sweetheart.
Yeah, but people are pansexual nowadays. I mean, you kind of do whatever
they
you
are
want.
Different types.
They were both very good kissers.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay.
And
let's
now, we're going to move on to round three, which is our debate real quick. I have two quick questions I want to ask. Are you an American Horror Story Hotel? You going to do it? I heard there was rumors
that I know of.
Elizabeth,
rumors.
The role was coming back.
Not that I know.
Two, are you single these days?
No.
I had someone for you.
All right, I'm leaving.
And it wasn't
Theo. It
wasn't
me either.
I had someone good for you.
Charleston's a great city, though, huh?
William Shatner. No, someone else. We'll talk about it later. All right, so you have to pick a winner.
You never set me up with anyone, you
piece? I've been in a relationship for about 4 years.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Exciting.
I mean, whenever I hear that, I'm like, good for you, and fuck me.
But thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah, sure. It's all right. All right, moving on. On that note, you have to pick a winner of that round. Whose questions did you like better?
And mine were really good, if you remember.
Yeah, he asked you if it's hard to be beautiful.
No, I didn't, bro. I asked it like in a, like a chill way, though, like a chill dude, like who's like relaxing, you know, like a nice guy,
like a creeper. All right, pick one.
Not a creeper.
I'm gonna pick you because I didn't pick you last time.
Hold on. You's name is Theo,
keep it
and
even.
She's picking me. That's fine.
Theo.
Yeah.
Theo. Well, you
I
keep
have
the,
to even the table.
You keep the drama up. All right, so our last thing is our debate. So we have a list of some topics. Mm-hmm. You can pick one for Theo and I. We each get a minute to give our side of the topic or of the opinion. Some of them are Hollywood-based. Some are just general life questions. Or you can also pick one of your own. A topic of your own, we will each get a minute to debate this said topic, and we each get a rebuttal as well. She's looking over the list.
I think maybe Taylor Swift.
Oh gosh. The topic we're picking is Taylor Swift, icon or I can't.
There you go.
Get there it? Icon? Go. Like an
yeah,
icon?
Yeah, I get it. I made it up. I made it up.
That was him. All right, so...
I know it's good.
Start the clock. All right, so aside from the fact that I genuinely do like Taylor Swift's music, and I find it very catchy, and I enjoy it, and I think she's a very talented songwriter, I think she's a really good, positive role model for young girls these days. I do believe so, especially in the world of Kardashians and, you know, other people like that who are looked up to by young girls and people who don't really necessarily have the talent or the kindness, so to speak, that I believe Taylor Swift does. Granted, I don't know her. She could be an awful bitch. But to me, she seems like a positive influence in society. And I think all the like petty shit that you hear like about who she's dating and all that, that's not her putting it out there, even though she does write about it in some of her songs. That's just like the world, you know, like what I do for a living, which is just perpetuating this, like, who are they dating and whatnot, and getting into all this childish stuff. But the bottom line is, I think Taylor Swift is a sweet girl, positive, and she has a lot of talent because she writes her own songs.
That's it.
God, that horn is loud.
That's a real horn, and we actually got that horn from Istanbul. So. Very expensive horn.
All right, Theo.
All right,
you
30 seconds.
30-second rebuttal.
All right, I believe that you're wrong. I believe that she could define herself a lot more. She seems to kind of go along with whatever's like the next thing, sort of. She just seems to kind of be kind of a wave hopper. Like, I don't really know who she is. Like, she's pop, she's country. Like, what does she really stand for, you know? I feel like she just gets kind of pushed by whatever the PR direction says that she needs to go in. And I'd like to see her really define herself more. So I don't think that I agree with you, Matthew.
Okay, fair enough. Would you like to present your side of why you think she's an I can't and people should not be listening to her?
Yeah, I do.
All right, let's pull up a minute.
I think that Taylor Swift is great. She seems like a cool chick, you know, and she does music and, you know, she dances, you know, in the front row with her friend. And I think that that's, you know, it's positive. She's certainly positive. But I don't know if she is... I think she embodies the fact that people aren't choosing what they really like, and they're just choosing what is most popularly fed to them. So a lot of people are like, yeah, I love Taylor Swift because they don't know anything else. And I just feel like we've gotten way too much into a world where no one's actually seeking out any talent that they might really feel attracted to. And it's not, I don't think it's her fault. But I don't feel like she should be an icon. I feel like anybody should really be an icon anymore. I feel like we should encourage people more to find different types of people and more unique, and she doesn't represent that.
Well, my rebuttal is obviously you're not a Taylor Swift fan of her music. Have you listened to her music?
I've jammed out to Blank Space.
See, right, Blank Space is a great song. But even going back to the Romeo and Juliet, I mean, it does have a constant, you know, they all kind of a little bit sound the same, but they're all really actually quite good songs that, and I want to give her credit for where credit's due because she is a songwriter and she's a fantastic performer on top of that. So aside from all this other stuff and what it represents, I think at the bottom line, she is a very talented musician, even though you might not want to like that. And I understand that, but she's a very talented musician, and I gotta give her her due day in the sun.
Day in the sun, he finished with. Now, I respect that part.
All right, so that is our debate.
That's round three. Mina,
do you have any opinion on this?
I do.
Yeah, what to give us? This is gonna tell which side she goes to.
Well, I think... in reference to what you were saying, Theo, that yes, ideally it would be nice to live more in a world where we have less quote unquote icons and have a bit more, you know, individuality, you know, an individualistic mindset. But unfortunately, I don't think we do. And I don't think that we're going to.
Ergo.
Bro, this was now, my moment with her. Will you?
Sorry.
I think, sweetheart. Even though I'm someone who listens to a lot of like old school and funk and like music from the 60s and 70s, I don't really listen to anything current. I think the most important thing that I admire about Taylor Swift is her the image. And I think she really is, if you want to call her an icon, I think she's a very good one to have nowadays because, you know, I think, again, in reference to what you were saying, Theo, you know, her, maybe you feeling like she doesn't really kind of, you know, I guess showcase a bit more of, you know, something that's not like Taylor, quote unquote.
Taylor.
Taylor made, no pun intended. I think that I can only assume that someone like her in her position and at that level is, you know, it has to be very well thought out. And right. It is driven by a large, you know, there's a huge driving force behind it.
Yeah,
I can only imagine
completely.
The type of team that, you know, she has.
She's part of the machine, but she's doing well with, she's putting out something positive for the machine. So in other words, you're saying I won, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think she does a very good job of promoting a better good image versus a lot of people out there that
completely.
Aren't. And I think that
that's a good point.
She inspires girls to express themselves. I think it's very admirable that she writes her own music. I have friends who are musicians that are actually ghostwriters for people, and I couldn't believe it when I heard that.
That song
I
wasn't done by that
artist. They did that. And so the fact that she really takes the time to do that and, you know, and supports women and
so I'm a pig, basically.
Well,
I had to argue aside.
She's well-mannered, and she
may be a little childish at times, but it's she's young too.
Well,
she's
I think
very
she's
young.
Very well-spoken.
I think so too.
And
all right, so to wrap this up, I am the winner, the person who gave her a job once.
Two times
I won. I won two rounds out of the three, so I will take this win
proudly. I'm sorry, he threw his pen down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just worked hard on today's questions, and I'm a bit frustrated, but that's
you won
life.
The questions round, so there we
that's
go.
A good point.
So, good point. Mean, you have a show coming out, South of Hell, right?
I do, yeah.
When can we see that, and what's going on there?
It's coming out this fall on WeTV.
And that's where you have different personalities, is that right?
Yeah. It's called South of Hell, and I play a character, Maria, who is actually possessed by a demon.
Wow.
And she uses her in the most beneficial way possible, and she exercises demons from other people. We shot it in Charleston. It actually
beautiful.
Takes place in Charleston.
Nice.
It was really nice to be back there and back home and working.
Was it creepy, like doing that type of material?
It just was. No, because I love that. I actually am obsessed with horror.
Ah.
And the fact that I mean, when I heard about this project, I was just done. I was sold. I love, you know, the supernatural.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had Jim Manos, who is our showrunner. Eli Roth produced it. He directed our first episode.
Awesome.
We had
so it's
directors
legit
like
horror.
Rachel Talalay, Jen Lynch, Jeremy Chechik, Ty West, Blumhouse also produced it.
Wow.
So it was like
everyone
that I have watched for years and years and years, all of their work. It was such an honor.
What's your favorite horror movie?
Oh, man.
You can't
too
pick.
Many. I actually, well, I'm really excited to see Goodnight Mommy.
That looks so freaking
really,
creepy.
I mean, I love, there's so many, I mean, I love like psychological
I do too.
Suspense and more supernatural, even though I love like werewolf and one of my favorite movies is The Entity.
With Barbara 80s. Hershey?
Yeah.
I think they're remaking that, actually. But yeah, that's a creepy movie.
Yeah.
What about Family Man with Nicolas Cage? Did you see that?
No.
Well, I love that movie. It's good.
That's, yeah.
No.
Okay. Thank you very much, Minizzle Suvizzle, for coming to this. That was our pet name. My pet name for her.
Fasheezy.
Fasheezy, for coming to the podcast and picking me as the winner. we are so grateful, and I love you, kiddo. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah,
we can't wait to
the rest of your career.
See everything that's to come.
Me.
Yeah, we've had
and
a good
I hope
time.
You had
thank
fun.
You.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I did.
Yeah, good. All right.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.